I'm Neil from Legends Podcast, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Audibly Exquisite Podcast, episode number 60. I'm Mike Norton with
Peter Melnick.
And Peter Melnick, tell the good folks at home what we're all about.
What Audibly Exquisite is about is we are your one-stop source for all things geek culture, be it movies, television, video games, comic books, you name it.
We're gonna cover it.
And we are also proudly brought to you by the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. Go to www.gunnageek.com for more information on all of the other great shows from the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. Now, how can people find us on social media? That's a great question, Mike, that you did not ask. But go to facebook.com/audiblyexquisite to like us on there. Go on twitter.com/theAEPodcast or at @theAEPodcast. A little slip up. And you can find myself at Peter Melnick.
At @Mike_Norin.
And let's see, you can find us on Instagram at
@AudiblyExquisite.
And finally, you can find us on the worldwide interwebs at
www.audiblyexquisite.com.
Now, I think that wraps up our little section of social media plug skis. I believe, yes, we have everything. I mean, you can go and, you know, give us a follow on, what was it called? Oh, yeah, Periscope. At the AE Podcast, but no one really uses that app anymore. Does anybody really use that app anymore?
Periscope?
Yeah.
Our good buddy DW does.
The Fanboys Inc. at Fanboys Inc. Gonna give them a little plug ski, fanboysinc.com. Now let's see, what else? Oh yeah, by the way, at the end of this interview, we got some interviews lined up that we conducted at East Coast Comic Con 2016 in Secaucus, New Jersey at the Meadowlands
Expo Center.
Hey, I like the tag team offense. So now, the interviews are with Marvel and DC comic legend Mark Waid, and also the man behind Batman. Well, not behind Batman. He's dead. He's Bob Kane. He's been dead.
And Bill Finger.
There we go. I like the little credit. So, no, the guy behind Batman Odyssey and the most iconic run of the 1960s of Batman and Detective Comics alongside Denny O'Neil. And he's also the guy who's behind The Coming of the Superman. Neil Adams. Really? Really?
So dirty.
Anyway, Neil and Mark are going to be at the end of this episode. Highly recommend tuning in for that. Not stooning in. Tuning in for that.
Great interview. Did he use a stooning fork?
I will say, by the way, my Mark Waid interview, I had to re-record the audio because I'm using a Zoom H4N, and I ended up botching it a little with the microphones. Mine wasn't plugged in, but you can hear him perfectly. Dude knows how to use a microphone. Love Mark Waid. So anyway, this week...
It was worth the wait.
Hey, I like that. So now, what's the big news? Oh yeah, we don't need no civil war. And that was my terrible speaking version of Axl Rose.
Oh, I thought you were trying to do like a southern accent.
I thought I was
like,
having a stroke.
You know how they're always going about the civil war still.
Well, anyway.
Get over yourselves.
So, Captain America Civil War came out. Mike, what did you think of it?
Thought it was pretty civil.
It was a war. It was civil. There were people. There was flying.
But it was fantastic. I mean,
well, no, that's the Fox property from Marvel.
There's some. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we sure will.
There's some folks who say Batman v Superman is better.
You can be entitled to your opinion, but
yes,
you're wrong.
You are.
To be honest,
we'll tell you when you're wrong.
The funniest thing is, over the past couple of weeks, I kind of changed my tune about Batman v Superman. Like, If you listened a few episodes ago, I was glowing over it in a way, but...
Well, you're like the girl who's in an abusive relationship. You're like, it's not that bad. It's not bad.
The thing with Batman v Superman was, I was excited for it. I think my expectations were so low, and you can tell the flaws of the movie. You can tell the editing is poor. You can see, you know, the plot points, in which, by the way, I get actually called out on by Neil Adams at the end of this episode for the Martha thing. But stay tuned for that. But yeah, I did not care for the movie after a while. Like, I saw it like the first two times. I'm like, you know what? I like this movie. Third time, I'm realizing all the problems with the movie by then. And as a fan of The Flash, I liked him in the non-Flashpoint scene. But anyway, we're on a tangent about that. We're supposed to talk about Civil War, Captain America 3, Civil War. And we got to be civil about this, Mike.
Yes, because we want Marvel coming after us with their big, strong powers.
Well, in the interest of fairness, Marvel knows what they're doing.
They know.
They know what they're doing with these movies. And in all honesty, I dug the hell out of the movie.
Giant Man.
Spoilers,
actually.
In the interest of fairness, if you look through the description and you see Civil War, you know we're talking about this. And in all honesty,
it's a geek cult.
Dude, 1 week rule. We're allowed to talk about it. It's not like, you know, the whole bullshit with Force Awakens where we couldn't talk about it for a month because other people might get offended.
It was like Fight Club.
My favorite thing was, like, these are the same people that bitch about Civil War. These are the same people that bitch about The Walking Dead and get post spoilers immediately after. I'm sorry.
Or the people who go on Facebook and read the comment section of Walking Dead and shocked that they see spoilers for Walking Dead.
Yeah. But my thing is, I loved the hell out of this movie. And, like, what was your favorite part of the entire movie?
Giant Man.
Loved the Giant
Man? I lost it when he started ripping the wings off of that thing.
I enjoyed when he turned into Giant Man and he's, like, swatting everybody off of him like Spider-Man. And, by the way, an ant versus a spider. Fantastic. Get to see a little bit of an insect battle. But what I liked was when he becomes giant and you just hear, I lost it for that. That was one of my favorite parts of the whole film.
Paul Rudd was amazing in that movie.
Also, the whole, I didn't get the line right, but your shield, Captain America. Just saying him by name, it like felt like 1960s comic dialogue, but so over the top cheesy.
It's still weird seeing Paul Rudd in a major movie like that. It's always been like Paul Rudd with.
By the way, the dude was actually supposed to do Monster Mania in New Jersey. He was supposed to be there for the Halloween 6 reunion panel.
I forgot he was in that.
Yeah, Paul Rudd ended up canceling actually the next day with the con. Which, you know, it kind of sucks because, like, you don't, like, he never really acknowledged Halloween 6. And by the way, we're going to drift away now from the Halloween 6 talk and going back to the Civil War stuff once again. Sorry to go on a tangent. But I just dug, you know, just seeing him as Ant-Man again. Because he was great at the comedic role. And, you know, was it really necessary to watch Ant-Man? Not really, you know, if you're watching all the movies. But it was worth it just to, you know, see continuation of the character, especially in the same tone.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, do you think, you know, who do you think was the real MVP of the movie? I think I got one word, Thwip.
Yeah, the Amazing Spider-Man.
The Amazing, the Spectacular, Friendly Neighborhood, Sensational, Web of.
From Queens, New York.
Dude, the fact that they got, and listening to Kevin Smith's Fat Man on Batman podcast recently, he actually mentioned it too. I like the fact they made the kid from Queens, New York actually have a Queens accent.
It was awesome.
Because every iteration of the character, you never, ever, ever, ever see him have an accent. Ever. I've never seen him with the accent. Have you?
Only when Andrew Garfield can't say a line right and comes out half Englishy.
He didn't even have a Queens accent. I'm sorry. It didn't work. I like Andrew Garfield, but he didn't have the accent.
Yeah, I agree with you.
The thing is, I liked Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, hated him as Peter Parker, but Tom Holland knocked it out of the park. He was absolutely amazing. I liked his use of humor in the costume, the lines, you know. You see it in the commercials. Dude, you have a metal arm? That is so awesome. I like that. I like the humor. What else was there? I also like the relationship between Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Yeah.
The whole, dude hasn't got poon in 70-something years, and they just do that subtle, yeah, nod. I loved that. What else? I mean, there's just so many great moments in that movie that, you know,
the whole movie's good.
It was. It was fantastic. There was
Clint Barton really shined.
Dude, the fact that he reappeared and he was just as good, if not better than he was in all the other movies, is great.
Yep.
So do you think that we're ever going to see a solo Hawkman movie down the line?
Maybe Hawkeye?
Hawkeye
and Scarlet. Wow, Hawkeye and what's her name?
Scarlet, or Black Widow.
Black Widow could definitely do a movie together.
I could especially...
Maybe like a prequel kind of thing, like their agent days.
Well, think about, you know, once again, going right back to Civil War, what was the one line while they're fighting with the Black Widow and Hawkeye? You're going to hit hard? Are we still going to be friends? How hard are you going to hit?
Yeah, it was a cool aspect. They definitely did a good job making Tony look like the dick.
Do you think, by the way, some people are talking online about this, the guys behind it, the Russo brothers, are saying that Spider-Man was written in the script the entire time. I kind of beg to differ. It kind of feels like he was just, you know, he was shoehorned in, but in the right way. Like, you could still remove him and the movie would work.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah, now my thing is, who do you think would have been the replacement for Spider-Man? Like, I'm thinking personally Vision.
Yeah, definitely. I think Vision was their backup guy.
Vision with his Yacht Club polo collection, Yacht Club sweater collection.
That was terrible.
Those were fantastic. That just fits, you know. Somebody pointed out on Reddit, he's pretty much this alien robot trying to be like a human, trying to be like very inconspicuous. I have red skin, so I'm trying to be on the down low still. Still wears the most obnoxiously stupid looking clothing I've ever seen in my life. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Now, also going, you know, with the movie, do you think where would Chadwick Boseman's performance of Black Panther lie with you with all the other movies?
He was good.
He was like he was again another one that knocked it out of the park. Like, I did not expect to enjoy the character as much as I did.
I kind of can't wait for the, you know, Black Panther solo.
Same here.
I hope they do the storyline they're doing now with Black Panther and Marvel.
I know the new run that actually just restarted.
I can't remember the name off the top of my head.
Well, it's Black Panther.
So. Black Panther. The name of the story arc, but basically in that, he, you know, he's away and he goes back, and you know they've killed all his, you know, people, or not his people, all of his people. His people killed all his, you know, leaders.
Like, right.
Which is a pretty cool concept. But anyway, it's not tangent here.
No, I mean you can still go on a tangent. I mean it's a podcast. You know, people are listening to what we think about this stuff. I mean, in all honesty, I liked the usage of Spider-Man to the overall dynamic, by the way, because you can tell, like, he doesn't know exactly what's going on with the overall scheme of all this. Because Tony's telling him one thing, completely one other thing.
Well, no, he's just excited to be with these guys.
Exactly. He's a young kid who had a really shitty costume with the goggles.
Yeah.
And by the way, I loved the god-awful Spider-Man costume. The original one. Loved that. That was perfect.
But now the eyes are friggin' cool.
Dude, the fact, like, and how many people bitched about that, by the way, from a 3-second clip when he goes,
"The eyes move!"
That makes sense with the fucking Stark technology.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like the usage of
that. And we called that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it works. It definitely works for the overall appearance of the character. And he was the closest thing to what we've seen in the comics in terms of appearance.
I agree. So, I think you're going to see other superhero movies kind of take a page, like the moving eyes.
I hope so. I think it was just so rad. It added, you know, more of a dynamic to, you know, the little nuances. So, fingers crossed, you know. Now, Mike, with the overall Marvel Cinematic Universe, we've now seen 13 films in the catalog.
13. Ironic that today is Friday the 13th.
Well, it's also Friday the 13th day.
I'm not driving you home.
Now, Mike, where do these movies, all 13 of the, I almost said Friday the 13th, wow. Where do all the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies lie for you, in from best to worst?
Okay, Civil War, Guardians of the Galaxy, Ant-Man, Iron Man, Avengers, Captain America 2, Captain America 1, Thor, Avengers Age of Ultron, Thor 2, Iron Man 2, and Iron Man 3.
Really? You're one of those that did not like Iron Man 3?
It was all right.
Okay, so here's my list. Number one, Guardians of the Galaxy. Number two, Captain America 3, Civil War.
I left out Hulk, actually. Hulk. I didn't like Hulk that much.
Yeah, I didn't. I actually recently rewatched it. It wasn't as bad as I remembered, but it really didn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Your list. Starting at number one.
Well, I already did the first two.
Okay.
Number three, Iron Man. Number four, Ant-Man. And by the way, for me, 3 and 4 are kind of tied, so it's kind of the same thing. 5, Captain America 2, Winter Soldier. Number 6, Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. Number 7, Iron Man 3. Number 8, Captain America, The First Avenger. Number 9, Avengers, which, by the way, for some people, I liked it, but it's still there are still parts of it that just didn't work for me.
Yeah.
Number 10, Iron Man 2. Number 11, Thor. Number 12, Incredible Hulk, and number 13, Thor, The Dark World.
Okay.
So now, overall, I mean, there's going to be a lot more movies we're going to be dealing with, you know, within the next couple of years, and this list is going to be getting a lot longer, especially this year with Doctor Strange coming out later in the year, and next year with Spider-Man Homecoming, etc., etc. So now, going with this, have you heard, by the way, that Infinity Wars parts 1 and 2 of the Avengers 3?
Oh yeah, the names got changed. They're not using Infinity War.
Yeah, they're not using Infinity War, and they haven't announced what it's going to be. What do you think the title's going to be?
I have no idea, honestly.
I'm surprised. I'm wondering then. I'm wondering if they'll just be like, maybe have it be a quick little change, super like easy. Just make it Infinity Gauntlet.
Probably.
Because realistically, this is more what this is about. But Infinity, you know, War had like 800 characters, which they're going on about is going to happen.
And I keep hearing rumors that they will have the Netflix characters in there, and I keep hearing rumors that they won't have the new Netflix. I mean, we'll find out eventually.
You have to have Daredevil. You have to have Jessica Jones. You have to have Heroes for Hire. You have to have all these characters because they're important.
It's going to be in an awesome movie. They said, and, you know, one of the directors said it's going to be the Star Wars of this generation. Which is kind of hard because all these guys are established characters already.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's going to have momentum and work already. It's not going to be Star Wars. Star Wars is an unknown movie that didn't do so well. Then all of a sudden it took off like a friggin' wildfire.
It was a movie that when George Lucas, the week it premiered, he was in Hawaii. And he found out, you know, via like a phone call or a telegram in Hawaii, hey, just so you know,
telegram.
Your
movie...
It's possible, because they did do telegrams.
Yeah, singing telegram. We want to let you know
your movie's
that your
kicking ass.
Show.
Dude, that movie, the fact it it did so well, you know, even then, it's insane. Like, the level of, you know, hype. And it reminds me now of the hype of all these movies with, you know, with that Marvel has. Marvel and Disney in general. It's crazy. So now going, you know, again with the Marvel stuff, a Black Widow movie may finally happen, they're saying.
Ooh.
I'm surprised it didn't happen soon enough, but I'm...
Well, there was speculation. I think 3-4 years ago, they would never have dared it.
Oh, yeah.
Now they definitely will, because they see, you know, Scarlett Johansson can definitely... She's doing Akira.
Right. So, which a lot of people...
No, Ghost in the Shell, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and a lot of people are complaining about that.
Because she's not Asian, but you know what? Get over yourselves, because if they one Asian actress they could hire, put in that movie that's going to draw like Scarlett Johansson.
In the interest of fairness... It is an Asian character that she's playing.
I know.
So I'm more of the, it doesn't make sense to have her play that, but let's see what happens. It's pretty much that one line.
It's Scarlett Johansson, and so it's going to do great, you know?
You think so?
They don't, would you, if you were making a movie, would you invest in some actress who nobody's ever heard before?
I'd more want to invest in a good script, to be honest.
True.
Good script and good director.
I mean, they can't, I mean, I don't know, I'm torn on it.
Although in the interest,
I sound like Max Landis over here.
In the interest of fairness, Greg Berlanti, the one who's in charge of doing The Flash, direct, you know, does a lot of episodes and things for that. He was actually, believe it or not, he did the original script for Green Lantern, and his script was a lot better than what was done.
I know. It has to be.
It was, and like they threw him off the project, but still credited him.
Wow.
So
dickheads.
Yeah, they credited him for the script, and they credited
what could have been.
And supposedly, again, it was a lot different than what was on the big screen. But anyway,
I'm sure it was.
So now,
thanks for bringing that up, Pete.
I think Black Widow would be a fantastic film, and in all honesty, it would attract, you know, it would help out their girl demographic, because think about it. When you're a girl, you're not really going for, you want a strong female role model. That's what Black Widow is. And you don't really, in all honesty with the character, you don't really see much her being put off as a sexual object. She's more of a, I will beat the ever-loving fuck out of you with my legs and punches and kicks.
While my boobs are hanging out.
I see it in some aspects, but it's not entirely. Mm. You know what I mean? I like that about the character.
Well, she uses her sex appeal as an advantage.
Yeah. But because she knows the men, you know, the weaknesses of the opposite sex.
Is their wieners.
So anyway.
That's why she cuts it off and eats it.
Now
Black Widow.
Now speaking of females in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Natalie Portman is not going to be returning for Thor Ragnarok. Now, do you think Natalie's character would have been necessary for what's going to happen in this film? Because it's going to be, I believe, a Thor-Hulk movie.
I don't know. Maybe, did they say why she won't be in it? Or are they going to do what they did in Avengers and be like, oh, she's in safety protection, a.k.a. Natalie Portman's knocked up.
Well, essentially what they're saying is the film takes like 80 to 90% in outer space, so they really don't have a need for it, but they do explain, you know, what happens to her. And speaking of what happens to a character, what happened with Pepper Potts in Civil War? Going back to Civil War talk, like they bring her up twice. Tony's upset that she's gone, but then they just completely drop it halfway through the movie. What do you think happened with Pepper?
Maybe she's doing Stark Tech stuff.
It's possible. I mean, it was like
she's the CEO, so she has to be busy.
You see how upset he is, so it has to be, you know, romantic.
Yeah.
So. I'm just kind of bummed out. Like that was my only complaint about the movie, just how that plot point just immediately got dropped. So, anyway, yeah, Natalie Portman's going to be in there. And do you think, in all honesty, her character would have been you know, necessary for the film? I kind of think so.
Maybe. I don't know.
But for, you know, if you're going for a quote-unquote action-oriented film, especially relying on CGI for Hemsworth flying around and all this shit, and, you know, Hulk being Hulk, I don't think, like, you don't really need that for, a CGI film.
Yeah, I agree.
Thor 1 and 2, yeah, it's fine, because you can have, you know, Thor 1 especially, because you're trying to show him as a human being, you know, amongst these mortals, you know, a god amongst mortals.
Yeah.
So.
But he's established. You know he's tough.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But anyway, now, speaking of Marvel. Well,
you know, also the reason I'm sure they had it was around humans, is so he had a reason to explain his origins.
Exactly.
Like, oh, I call it science and magic.
Yeah.
Another!
What?
Oh, it's, what is it? Galileo? Yeah, that's what they speak.
Anyway. So now, speaking of Marvel, but going away from Marvel Cinematic Universe and Disney, Wolverine 3 is going to be... Wait, what?
It's going to be rated synced.
I like that. I like that. That's going to be the new MPAA rating.
Synced.
I'm surprised. I mean, like, how are they going to, like, put that as a little thing? Is it going to be, like, you know, three claws or four claws? Or no, it's three. It's Wolvie. But anyway, Wolverine 3 is going to be shooting soon, and it's going to be rated R. Now, I think this is super beneficial, and it should have been in the first place. It wasn't The Wolverine rated PG-13, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And it had the unrated cut, which was slightly more violent.
Show a little bit more blood spatter.
Yeah, just a little, but I mean... But
you want to see Wolverine disembowel somebody.
Yeah, if you want
to... Remember the video game?
Oh, yeah.
When you land out of the plane and just completely mutilate some guy because you land on him?
I love the fact they just made him into such a... Not into a violent character, but just, like, they knew what the hell they were doing.
No, we want to see a savage Wolverine, like, disembowel somebody.
Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, that's what the character's like, and, you know, is most basic.
Not use his claws to deflect people away. We just want to see him, like, grab somebody and claw them right to the face.
Exactly, exactly. Now, I think it's going to help, you know, with the R rating. And honestly, what I think is going to happen, they're shooting for an R, they're going to accidentally get an NC-17 with, you know, how violent.
Good.
I think it's going to be funny.
Don't
and then
get the director's cut. That's extra.
Yeah.
Violent.
The director's cut is going to, like, you know, by the way, they're going to do a director's cut for that.
Oh, yeah.
So now, do you think.
I hope they do the scene where he was trapped in the water eating his own flesh.
Do you think that if they're doing an R rating, do you think there's going to be more R rated films down the line with comic book characters?
Most likely.
Would you consider it the Deadpool effect?
In a way. And for, on the record, Killing Joke isn't doing a rated R just because Deadpool did.
Right. It's
just putting it out there.
There are people out there that say it's, you know, pantomiming it. It's not. It's
no, that movie, that it's been R. If that was a rated comic, it'd be, you know, adult reading material.
Oh yeah. It's pretty dark.
Yeah.
So now,
speaking of rated R movies,
so anyway,
Deadpool.
Yeah. Well, guess who wants to play Cable? Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, yes, because he's a brilliant actor.
Look at him in Masters of the Universe.
Let's not.
If you've ever seen the Canon Films documentary about the company, Electric Boogaloo, the wild story of Canon Pictures, Stallone at one point appears on the set of Masters of the Universe and goes, "You give that guy lines?
No way."
I love the fact that, you know, even Stallone is just like, really? You gave that guy dialogue?
Watch Expendables. He's terrible.
I don't think he can. Well, this is the thing. Give him few lines as possible. It could work like that. You know, make him the straight man.
But it shouldn't have to be. Like I told you off mic, that we need an actor to play Cable as bad as one. You know, Ryan Reynolds loves being Deadpool. He is Deadpool.
Stephen Lang is that guy right now.
Exactly. We need someone who's going to thrive in this role, who will take this role and be like, I am motherfucking Cable.
But I fucking
hate
it.
And be like, oh, I'm playing Cable.
But I fucking hated Avatar, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
this is gonna be...
he did play that general character really good.
Yeah, I mean, it was a movie.
But look at these actors. You can tell when an actor is not meant for the role because they're not feeling it. I mean, who would I say? Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Terrible, because he didn't want to play Lex Luthor. They had him playing like a campy Lex Luthor. If they let Kevin Spacey play a dark, psychotic Lex Luthor.
Kevin Spacey was a good Lex Luthor, though. I liked him as Lex Luthor because of the fact he did his best to kind of like make a little bit darker version of Gene Hackman's.
Mm.
I liked it.
He didn't play a genius good, though.
Right, but still.
He played a crazy guy, but Lex, you need to be a crazy genius.
He
like
played
Heisenberg.
He played corporate douche perfectly.
Exactly.
Like evil corporate douche. I liked that.
Unlike friggin' Jesse Eisenberg as Riddler / Lex Luthor love child.
The thing is this, I'll bitch about the movie, but in all honesty, he's still part of why I like the movie. Mm. I don't know why. I guess it's just because everyone's so against him. I'm like, you know what? There are benefits.
They really hit a friggin' bump in the road. Like, it's almost like, you know.
Well, the people in charge of Warner Brothers were blaming Zack Snyder for Batman v Superman's failure. But guess what else is happening? They're blaming, what's it called? Disney is blaming Batman v Superman for the quote unquote low turnout for Civil War. You saw it. I saw it. How packed were the theaters, Mike? Fucking jam packed. It's insane.
Well, what happened with DC with Batman v Superman? They're like, all right, we got the car all loaded up. We're going to go out there and get on the road and, you know, start making, you know, we're going to get there. No, they got caught, you know, they got going down the road and they hit a pothole, tire blew out, and they flipped over and the family burned alive and died.
A friend of mine actually was saying, like, he feels Batman v Superman succeeded in a lot of ways because it was more accurate to the comics, which, yeah, I kind of understand with the Doomsday storyline and the, you know, the Batman versus Superman element with, you know, Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
But in a lot of ways, not really.
They should have fun with it, not make it like everyone's really, really depressed.
It's all one emotion. That's all it is. And that's where you can tell Chris Nolan. And I'm sorry, people out there, I don't care for Chris Nolan because all he does is characters with one fucking emotion.
Well, I don't know if I said it on here or someone else, but Superman should be Batman's opposite. Batman's dark and brooding.
Right. Yeah.
Superman should be bright and smiling all the time. Be like, hey there, sport, how are you? And not be like, oh no.
Dude, everyone says that because it's the fucking truth.
He should be annoyingly nice.
I think he should be more, like, not campy, but, like, I agree, like, over the top nice.
Hey, buddy, how you doing? He comes up and slaps Batman on the back and kind of, like, jolts Batman. Batman's like, what a dick.
I mean, in all honesty, you know, let's, because we'll both find a way to blow a gasket over this. So guess what is not getting good reviews? Speaking of things that are not getting good reviews.
X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, and you know what? That actually kind of hurts because look at X-Men First Class, look at Days of Future Past, look at Deadpool. They were on such a winning streak with these movies, and they somehow managed to fuck that up.
I don't know. Bryan Singer?
Dude, this is the thing. He's made good movies. He's a great director. How the fuck?
Maybe it's time to get rid of him.
You think so? I mean,
look at when you got a pitcher who's, you know, he throws a couple good games and you got it, you know, and then he starts doing shit, then he does good. You can't keep him around all the time just because he does good a little bit.
Yeah, but look at, you know, Scorsese. Scorsese has, like, an amazing track record. You know, you don't throw him off of projects. And, like, every once in a while he'll fuck up, but.
But it's Martin Scorsese.
I suppose.
Different movies.
Okay, yeah, and no, it's not superhero movies.
They're originals, you know?
If
it's a shit movie, it's because, you know, it's a shit movie.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
But if there's a shitty superhero movie, there's no reason for it because of all the material they have. They have endless amounts of stuff they can use, and it's their fault. It's shit.
Now,
nobody else's.
My thing with all of this is I just feel he's still, like, his batting record is, like, one bad movie in the X-Men, you know, universe. When you think about it, the only bad one was this. Grace? No, he wasn't number three.
Oh, that's right.
That was when he was working on Superman Returns, which, in all honesty, was not that bad of a movie, but it could have been so much better.
I totally agree.
It tried to mimic the Christopher Reeve movies.
Which was not the time for it.
Which, by the way, go on www.audiblyexquisite.com and check out the reviews of the Superman movies and upcoming real, real soon, the Batman movies and Batman v Superman by Justin Marin, friend of the show, collaborator for the show. So anyway, I still feel that Singer has a lot of good in him. Like, you know, it's like a 1.5 maybe of bad films for him in the superhero genre. But do I think he should, you know, be taken off? No. Although there are people out there who really, really, really want Zack Snyder off of him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Again, behead him. They need to behead Zack Snyder and mount his head in the, you know.
It's too much the Nolan influence,
writing
though.
Room. Be like, this is what will happen to you.
It's Nolan and Goyer. Nolan and Goyer, in a lot of ways, are the problems with the way the Marvel the DC cinematic universe are going.
You know, we could take him out. We'll go to jail for the rest of our lives.
No,
what we'll be doing.
You're the one saying this, not me. So
Mike Norton, Mike Norton, Mike Norton.
Mike Norton, Mike Norton, Mike Norton.
Hey, it's me, Peter Melnick.
Anyway, so I just feel they were on such a fantastic streak. And speaking of fantastic, Mike.
Oh, God.
Guess what might be happening?
Not the Fantastic Four sequel, hopefully.
Nope, well, it might be a sequel. They want to still do more movies for the Fantastic Four through Fox. Fox wants to continue bludgeoning this goddamn franchise with a club. And it's, you know, as a fan of the characters, it really pisses me off because Marvel is the one that can get it right. They are not a superhero team, even though they quote-unquote are. Yes, Scamantics, yes, they are. They're an adventure team, just like Challengers of the Unknown from DC, which, by the way, was made by King Kirby as well, King Jack Kirby. But I feel, going with this, you know, we're also seeing them trying to make them into a superhero movie, and actually, friend of the show and upcoming partner for Inside the Batcave, check it out soon at Inside Batcave on Twitter. Anyway, he actually recently saw half of the movie, and by the way, he pointed out he got in about an hour into the movie, and that was finally when they got their powers. By the way, one more person that has seen it that we still haven't seen the movie, but they have, someone else has.
I'm going to wait till it's on Netflix, if Netflix allows it.
It'll never be on Netflix because of the distribution shit or whatever, but it'll probably be in the discount bin super soon. Although the funniest thing was...
Oh, it's $10 at Walmart. It's well on its way.
Suggested for Mother's Day gifts. If you really, really, really fucking hate your mother, you can buy her Fantastic Four 2015.
You know that passed, right?
Well, they'll do it again next year.
Don't do that to your mother, guys.
I know. So anyway...
Dude, you can get one for your dad.
Oh, the stories I have to tell you off mic. Anyway. So, now, I just feel... They really need to drop the Fantastic Four license because they're killing it. You know that one episode of The Simpsons where there's that Krusty Burger thief who's dressed up like the Hamburglar, and or Homer's just beating the ever-loving shit out of him? Stop! He's already dead! They're doing that with this fucking franchise.
I don't know. What runs through their mind? Is it arrogance or is it greed?
I think it's
greed.
It's the quote.
Both?
It's the Stevie Richards, I'll show you, you'll see kind of mentality. We made a good Fantastic Four film once, and in all honesty, it was passable. It was an okay movie, but it was, like, I'm referring, by the way, to 2005. It was not that great.
No.
It was passable. Like, it was a movie shot on film and had people in special effects.
Well, back then, we were young and ignorant towards superhero movies.
Not just that, but we didn't have many.
No. What we got, we were happy.
We got them during the beginning of the revival, you know, thanks to movies like Blade, X-Men, stuff like that. So anyway, now speaking of movies that may or may not do well, Flash, which is going to be coming out in the next couple of years, not Flash Gordon. Ah! Friend of the show, Sam Jones. Thanks, Brock. So anyway, the Flash movie just lost its director.
That's not a good sign.
Now, do you feel the Flash movie should get... Who should the Flash movie be directed by?
Someone with a friggin' personality of the who has that kind of, you know, Flash-like sensibility. You need to be kind of like quick pace. No, boom, boom, boom.
In all honesty, looking
Miller.
Back, again...
People have been saying, put Miller in Justice League, but they won't.
Oh, George Miller?
Yeah.
Did you and I have a conversation about that fairly recently? I believe we...
I think so.
And I posted a thing on Twitter, and like people were, you know, arguing with me on my Facebook. Like my one friend thought I was talking about Frank Miller. No.
I've seen that.
But anyway.
Give the people what they want, because we know what we want.
George Miller is going to be a creative director for Justice League, I believe, like a consultant.
Hopefully. No, just let him give it to him.
Dude, you've seen
Merry
Mad
Christmas, George,
you've
or
seen,
Hanukkah.
Well, you've seen Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
And back in the day, you've probably watched Babe, Pig in the City. Those were movies that he did, and they were actually really fucking good. Give it to fucking someone like him who knows what he's doing. But instead, you know, it's the I'll show you mentality, even, you know, they're doing it. I don't know. I just want to see these movies succeed, because regardless of, you know, my bitching and kvetching about this, and, you know, yours as well, we want to see these movies do well. We want to see these people working on the movies get more jobs, working on stuff they love. But, you know, Warner Brothers, in my opinion, they're embarrassed to make superhero movies.
I agree with you.
They're embarrassed. And I remember hearing this from someone. I want to say my friend Max Meehan, who said, you know, I think he said it, like, they're embarrassed. They don't want to do this. Whereas Disney, they're embracing it. They make the most fun movies. And it's not, you know, me blowing Marvel and Disney. No, they know what the fuck they're doing, because guess what? When I was watching that movie, both times, I saw it Friday and the next day Saturday, I had a Cheshire Cat-like grin from start to finish because it was good.
Unlike anything DC does.
Well, in the interest of fairness, there are...
There
are good DC movies, but that was years ago.
I don't know what happened. It's like, all right, let's just be...
A 20-year dry
real.
Spell.
We're going to get real.
It's almost
like they're trying to, like, literally doing the polar opposite of Marvel.
And you
Marvel's
can't...
bright, fun, colorful, having fun. You know, it's got a lot of brightness. DC, dark, gloomy, brooding.
Dark, grim dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's stupid. I have faith. Hopefully, Suicide Squad,
yeah.
Can be their redeeming thing.
My thing is...
It's going to be sad if their villains are better than their heroes.
I think it'd be cool, though, still. I think it'd be so rad.
The bad boys of, you know...
The bad boys of Saturday Night Live.
It's going to be like, you know, the Rebels, you know.
Yeah.
If that works, let them do it, you know. Well, do their bad guy movies.
My thing is, you know, look at Warner with their animated movies and with their live-action television. Kind of with Arrow. Arrow kind of fell off, like, the past couple of, you know, seasons. But, the past two. But look at, you know, The Flash. Look at Supergirl. Look at... That's about it. But they're fun shows, you know?
That's weird.
They're fun shows, and they know what they're doing. They get the characters. They understand. And I don't see that with their theatrical division. They do it with the animated movies. They do amazing jobs. Yes.
I just watched Gods and Monsters.
How was it? I know that
pretty cool.
The,
it's alternate take. Like, Superman's like a Spanish guy.
Right.
Batman is Kurt Langstrom.
Man-Bat.
Yep. But he's, before, you know, did turn into the Bat, voiced by Michael C. Hall.
Dude, that's cool.
It is. And actually, the Superman character is voiced by, what the hell's the
Abe
creator?
Abe Vigoda, the late great Abe
creator, Vigoda. The creator of the Batman animated series. I can't believe I'm drawing blank.
Bruce Timm?
Bruce Timm does the voice of
Superman. He did a voice?
Of Superman.
Dude, that's cool.
Well, that Superman is where Zod is his father.
Well, the funniest...
And Wonder Woman is from Apocalypse.
Well, the funniest thing is, you know, you look at him and you also hear him. He kind of reminds me of Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. In preparation for Inside the Batcave, I've seen, like, you know, the interviews and stuff. He looks and sounds just like Michael Keaton.
Yeah, but I think Michael C. Hall, remember how Neil Adams was talking about who could play Man-Bat?
Yeah.
Michael C. Hall.
I can absolutely see that. That would work. That would absolutely work.
Definitely. He could do his Dexter-esque character slash a little more manic and crazy and boom, yeah. Perfect.
You have these characters under your disposal, and you can make so much magic happen. It's cliche to say.
Well, if when, you know, the alternate universe where we make DC movies, they're friggin' phenomenal.
Aren't they? I mean, we got so many awards for these movies,
Mike. Oh,
yeah.
Mike. I mean, Superman isn't a little bitch.
I will tell you, Mike, I'm so happy I have the Blockbuster Video Movie of the Year Award for our work on Booster Gold 2. Electric Boogaloo. I'm really proud of that.
We did good on it. Seth Rogen and James Franco really pulled off. At first, we got a lot of shit on the internet, but...
Everyone keeps saying that recommendation, and I agree with them on that. I like that idea. There are people who love that.
After we, you know, got in cahoots with Anonymous, and they shut down every single person who bitched, if it was any negative comment, Anonymous shut down their computer permanently and wiped their credit cards clean and funded us fully.
They've actually been saying, by the way, that... The Booster Gold movie is being pushed into development.
I seen something about it.
With Greg Berlanti of, you know, Arrow and everything.
Let him.
I want to see it happen. If anybody can get a character who has humor to him, it's Berlanti.
What's up? Maybe Snyder can get on board with it.
He can make it grimdark for the goofy character.
Okay. You know how Booster Gold is this bright Hollywood kind of character, you know, surfer type?
Yeah.
Let's take him and make him really depressed and embarrassed to be a superhero. That's why they do it. That's why they make these characters embarrassed to be superheroes, because they're embarrassed to make superhero movies. Yeah. Mind blow. They're portraying their superheroes as themselves.
Anyway.
All right, Kevin Smith on The Flash. Speaking of
directors.
Awesomeness.
Yeah, I actually have not had the pleasure of watching it yet. I'm actually kind of rewatching The Flash from the beginning.
People were complaining kids Kevin Smith did it.
A lot of people, he got the most praise for this, man.
I know, I seen it. I was like, why? I was like, it was a fun episode. I just watched it, and it was fun. It was a fun episode.
And guess what? He's coming back for season 3.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Maybe we'll put him as a couple episodes.
Even Jason Mewes made an appearance in the new episode. That's cool.
I think this is going to be Kevin's stepping stone to writing more television series superhero shows.
Do you think he could do a superhero movie?
I think he could do a Booster Gold Blue Beetle movie.
Dude.
With Franco and Rogan.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I'm sure he's going to have them smoke pot maybe once or twice.
No, because when you're Warner Brothers, they have that like tight leash. You can't do this. Like
Kevin, no weed.
Well, if you remember, when Kevin was working on Widening Gyre, he made a reference. What's it called? He said he insinuated the gay, quote-unquote gay relationship between Batman and Robin.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, Aquaman goes, he made a comment about, you know, insinuating that. I forgot what it was. Listen to Kevin Smith.
I just read it.
Yeah, he tells it so much better than I will. But, yeah, like, Warner Brothers.
He was like, I thought you and Robin were, you know.
Yeah, they have a tight leash. They will not do that stuff.
Well, Kevin has, he said it before, that him and Walt technically are still writing the old DC Universe, so he could do whatever he wanted.
Yeah,
he
said, pre-New 52 continuity.
He said, I could have Batman go on a mass killing spree and murder everybody in the DC Universe.
Do you think he would do that?
After how that part one ended, yes.
You think so?
Yeah, his girlfriend's throat got slit.
That was vicious the way they did it, man.
And I love how it's the last page, a huge splash page. So if you don't read the comic at all,
right.
It's your first time reading it. If you accidentally flip the page, book open or whatever, flip through it, you see Silver's throat getting slit wide open.
Yep. I was going to say I like stuff like that, but I don't like violence. But I'm just, on Friday the 13th, anyway. I think it's cool that Kevin can just get to do this stuff, you know?
I think Kevin Smith can bring fun, because look at his books. He brings obscure characters and makes them fun.
Yeah.
Friggin' Quilt. Quiltmaster, Quiltman?
I believe so, Quiltman.
Quiltmaster.
Crazy Quilt.
Crazy Quilt. Crazy Quilt. Google him, people. Google who Crazy Quilt is, and Kevin Smith made him a friggin' psychopathic killer, but fun.
I also go with the fact that, you know, he brought, you know, you were telling me off mic, not me. You were the one saying, look at the characters he brought in, like Demon. Like, they're not...
Demon Knight.
They're not A-listers, they're not Z-listers, they're like more like C or D. And, you know...
We want the D characters.
We sure do. We want the D characters.
But Kevin Smith makes the D characters work, like friggin' Swamp Thing references. I friggin' popped when I saw that. It was just one little word bubble. Powers were godlike.
Kayfabe, Mike. Kayfabe.
I know, but...
So, anyway.
I was happy to see, you know, a Swamp Thing reference, because, you know, as you can tell, I have two Swamp Thing action figures laying in front of me.
Well, for the visual podcast, yes, we can
yes.
tell, right?
But those are
alternate universe.
Those of us who can see what we're doing on our visual podcast on, you know, because in alternate universe right now, we're... on AMC at 8 o'clock at night on a... What night of the week?
Let's go with Friday.
A Friday.
Kind of like we're taking over for the soup.
Yeah, okay.
For on E.
Because, you know, nobody's going to watch us then.
You'd be surprised, man. You'd be... The power of
DVRs.
We're
arguing about alternate universe us of what time we're on TV. No, alternate us is on 8 o'clock at night.
No, man. We're at 11 o'clock on E, man.
No. Walking Dead follows us. We're on at 9 o'clock followed by the Walking Dead.
The wife and dead?
Yeah.
Ah, anyway. So now, before we get into our next little topic, guess what? Go to www.audibletrial.com/audiblyexquisite. Get a free 30-day, one-month trial and one audiobook of your choosing. Mike, I've been listening to Star Wars Bloodline. Yourself?
Me too.
Nice. We're both Star Wars fans. We're both learning about Princess Leia during the time before Force Awakens.
Weird.
So, once again, go to www.audibletrial.com/audiblyexquisite. Cancel any time, but before you do, get your free audiobook and help support the show, because this is not a free show for us. So, anyway, now, speaking of Star Wars, Alden Ehrenreich is going to play a young Han Solo in a Han Solo spinoff film.
Awesome.
Have you seen Have you seen Hail Caesar?
No.
I recommend it. It was a good film. I enjoyed the heck out of it. Great, you know, cast. I'm a big Channing Tatum fan, so I love what he was doing in there. But anyway, Alden Ehrenreich did a fantastic job in that film as a Southern cowboy, and I think he's going to knock it out of the park as Han Solo. Myself, I don't think he really looks like him a little bit. Maybe.
They'll make it work.
Do you think he looks like a young Han Solo?
From a certain angle.
What?
From a certain angle.
I can see, but I don't know. But I think it's going to be, you know, I think it's going to be cool to see the young characters now. You know, we're also going to be getting Tom Hardy may possibly play Boba Fett.
I've seen that.
And, you know, off mic, you and I were talking about it. Do you think that if that happens, it's going to be like Dredd, where he's in costume the entire time covering his face?
I hope so.
I do too. I mean, we want to see the character because that's the guy playing it. Do it for like 5 seconds and then just cover him up the entire movie.
How his mask get kicked off, and he said, why would I ever... I said, I can't take this thing off. All right, so anyway, going along with the Star Wars theme, original opening for 7, did you hear what it was supposed to be?
I believe it was supposed to be... It was actually leaked online, like, not too long ago, like about, 2014, like the original scripts. And it was basically Luke's hand stuck in the sand or something. And
or floating through space or something.
Yeah, and like holding the lightsaber clung to his, hand. Because they'll never pull that from my cold, dead hands.
I hope they show that scene. Because I kind of want to see the hand for some reason.
I wonder if it made... Like, this was like during the rewrites, though. So I doubt it got made. But how cool would it be we open episode 8 up with that? It'd be creepy as fuck.
Star Wars never done, like, flashback scenes, though. Like, quick flashback scenes, but not like a whole scene of, like...
Well,
flashback.
We're getting Rogue One.
Yeah, that's a prequel. They're doing a prequel again.
And it's going to be good. to be honest, it's going to be good. Like, I'm one of those, like, you haven't even seen the movie. I don't give a shit. It's going to be good. It's fucking Disney. They have their quality control with all this stuff. They got good actors performing in this film. It'll be good. Quit fucking whining. Now, speaking of sequels, by the way, sorry for that little bitter outburst, but sometimes it has to be said. Just saying, it has to be said. Anyway, speaking of sequels, Dread might be happening. Dread 2 might be happening as a Netflix original movie. And I think it's, honestly, if it happens, hey, what better place? You know people will watch it on there. Mike?
I agree. I mean, I wish they would kind of do a series, maybe. That would be cool to see.
I think Dread works more as a 1-2 punch kind of movie. Like, that's just me, like, You can have series for certain characters like Constantine. Constantine doesn't work as a standalone movie.
No. There's too much explanation.
Judge Dredd, you can just have a 1-2-3 movie, 1-2-3 movie, 1-2-3 movie. You can have a film series. You know what I mean? But I can't see a series of television shows. I don't think that could work. You?
Nah, I'm with you on that one.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm changing my opinion now, Mike.
I'm changing my opinion too, Pete.
Anyway, so... Yeah, I mean, I think it... I hope the movie happens, and I hope the movie works. Speaking of movies that I do hope work, Ghostbusters, the remake that's happening, is considered now the most disliked trailer on YouTube. Mike, you saw that? I saw that? What do you think?
It's not a good trailer.
The first one was an absolute dud. The jokes didn't hit. The jokes didn't connect. It fell flat for me.
I mean, it's a trailer, but I just kind of hope it works, you know?
Right. I mean... There are fans that
okay.
What?
Guess how many dislikes there had?
How many?
785,000 dislikes.
You know it's also fanboys that haven't watched the trailer.
Oh, yeah. Look, I created a new profile so I could unlike this page one more time.
That is fucking childish.
Finally, a way to prevent piracy.
Jesus.
I'd rather play Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Wow, now that's the new gaming punchline? I'm kind of out of it. Well, it's a Call of Duty game, so yeah, it would be a punchline. Yeah, I mean, I'll say it again. The second trailer worked. Paul Feige knew what the hell he was doing in that one. And he recently went on saying that the geeks who are so critical of him are assholes. He flat out said assholes. And you know what? He's not wrong.
No, that's the people we deal with.
They're
our bread and butter.
Yep. So anyway, now, before we go, one final topic. The Walking Dead is going to be the subject of an upcoming Robot Chicken special. Mike, you're the resident Walking Dead head. What do you think of this idea happening?
I think it's a great idea.
What do you see happening in the special? Obviously, there's going to be walkers. There's going to be Carl. There's going to be Rick.
I don't know what they're going to do. They're just going to parody on a lot of things, I think.
Do you think it can work?
Oh, yeah, of course.
What would you want to see happen in this episode?
Daryl take a shower. Them acknowledging, in fact, Daryl doesn't shower and the weird love interest everybody has in him.
Do you think it's going to happen? Do you think they're going to acknowledge if Daryl dies, we riot?
That's my favorite. You know what's going to happen? The people are going to blow up at Facebook for like any event that ever happens, like whether there's bathrooms or red cups. People are going to get pissed for a week and some change and then forget about it. That's all that you do. I mean, not all of you, because, you know, maybe I wouldn't know anymore because I don't follow you idiots if you're listening to this and You can check and see if I'm following you or not. If I'm not, it's probably because he posted something stupid.
Bravo. Anyway,
Robot Chicken. Yes.
Speaking of Walking Dead, by the way, in the car ride, you were telling me that there's a statue going to be made of Glenn.
No, it's not a statue. It's a bust.
It's a bust. Oh, appropriate word, isn't it?
Well, what they do is, you know, in case you don't know, in action sequences, instead of actually, you know, bashing somebody's head in or shooting out Chandler Riggs' eye, a.k.a. Carl, they make a lifelike bust of this person so they can do bad things to it.
Right.
And speaking of doing bad things to it, the guy, you know, Abraham.
Not Morgan.
Sticking his tongue down the throat of a Glenn with his head bashed in.
All right.
So, theory is that AMC is using these things as a misdirection.
Mike, would you say this is a theory about a dead man? Not of, about a dead man?
It is.
Hey, did a double finger snap
for that. Fox Mulder on the case.
It's possible.
All right, anyway.
Now, I know right now we're clocking in at about 50 minutes, but before we go, we actually have two more things. Once again, top of the show, we said that there is going to be an interview with comic book legend Neil Adams and an interview with comic book legend Mark Waid. We got some royalty in our show today.
We do. Comic book royalty.
So, once again, before we go, take a listen to these guys right
now.
All right, we are joined alongside Mr. Mark Waid. Mark, how you doing?
Good afternoon, sir. I'm doing well. How's the show been for you so far?
It has been fantastic.
Great.
Now, whenever there's a comic book documentary, I'm always happy to see you as one of the talking heads. In my opinion, if there was a comic book museum, you, in my opinion, would be one of the curators.
Thank you. Oh, absolutely. And in fact, that is a dream. In fact, we bought a building in Muncie, Indiana, not too long ago, where we live, with the idea of eventually turning it into a museum of superheroes someday. It's just, there's a lot of hoops to go through, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of legality stuff you have to go through, but that would be very cool. That would be a dream.
I see your passion behind everything, and it also shows in your work. Especially, you know, for example, right now with the current run on Black Widow.
What happened was, Chris and I were winding down our Daredevil run. We both loved Daredevil, but Chris was running out of ways, in his own admission, he was running out of ways to draw radar sense, and I was running out of ways to say, she smells like cardamom and licorice, or whatever. I would get to the point where I'm trying to come up with a new way for him to describe his radar, his enhanced senses, and every issue would take me longer and longer. So we were looking for something. We talked to Marvel and said we want something, but we didn't want it to be a super team book because Chris didn't feel like drawing a team. There were certain characters that we liked, but they were in play. But then somebody pitched Black Widow, knowing that after Secret Wars there'd be that opening again. And that seemed like a perfect fit. And Chris was all over that. And in fact, when we decided to do it, I said to Chris, I said, I don't have as much time to do as much heavy lifting on this one. Do you mind, as this guy who wants to be more of a storyteller and more of a writer yourself, do you mind taking more of the heavy lifting? And he was fine with it. So with Daredevil, it was full script, but we would talk about it at great length and as we went. With Black Widow, it's a much more collaborative process where we have a general outline where we're going. Before he starts every issue, we talk it out over the phone. Then I'll write up like a page-long synopsis to send to our editor to make sure everything is okay. And then a month later, I get 20 pages of pencils back. And it's time for me to add balloons and dialogue and take notes that he's made along the way and stuff. And so he's doing the choreographing. He's doing the storytelling, really. And it's a lot more collaborative process.
Now, speaking of Marvel, you actually last year got to be a part of the brand new Star Wars relaunch.
Yeah.
And you actually got to take part in the Princess Leia series. What is it like knowing since Lucas and Disney threw out the old expanded universe, you now have stuff that's considered canon and it's a part of the Star Wars universe?
That's crazy to me. That's wild. I never would have dreamed that 30 years ago in a movie theater, you know, that would have been the case. But I remember we after the first issue came out, we'd come up with a character named Yvonne, who is a secondary character in that book who becomes like Leia's sidekick. And the day after that comic came out, she had a Wikipedia entry that was longer than the number of words in my script, which I thought was phenomenal. So that was pretty cool that we're able to add little bits to the mythology.
When you think about it, you see Force Awakens, you see, you know, Princess Leia and her decisions she's made in that. What you did in your script led her to that moment.
That's what I choose to believe. That may not be what George Lucas chooses to believe or Disney chooses to believe, but that's what I like to believe, yeah.
It's absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. Now, speaking of comics in general, This year marks the 20th anniversary of your work on DC's Kingdom Come.
Yes, my God, I'm old, yeah.
My question is, what was it like, you know, when you... Were you approached to work on that miniseries, or was this an idea? You said, hey, guys, I want to do this comic.
No, I was approached, actually. What happened was Alex Ross had just done Marvels over at Marvel Comics, another masterpiece, and he came over to DC saying, I want to do something similar. I want to do a big painted book, and I've got a bunch of sketches. He had a bunch of character sketches and his basic idea, which was it's some years in the future, the superheroes have retired, and there's a bunch of new kids running around. And he had a bunch of vignettes in mind and a bunch of sort of images, but there was no cohesive plot to it and no real story to it. And that's not a slam. It's just he was still looking for that. So DC asked, well, you know, I wasn't anybody at that point. I was working on Flash, but I didn't really have a big resume at that point. But DC knows I know those characters back and forth. I know the history better than anybody else alive. So who can we team Alex with that knows the DC universe in depth? And so that became a series of conversations, and that became some ideas about we could do this, we could do that, and before you know it, we had a story.
Now, one of the little things that I like about Kingdom Come is you notice in the background Alex would have little things. Was this like a joint effort to have little things like Jonah Hex's skeleton in the background, Booster Gold, stuff with him? Whose decision was that?
Sometimes they were my suggestions, but by and large, with the exception of Planet Krypton, which I think I put most of the stuff in Planet Krypton, or not most, but a lot of it anyway. But a general rule of thumb is, if the character doesn't have a speaking role, Alex stuck him in the background. It's not always the case, but that's generally the truth. That's generally how you have the monkeys in the background for one issue, you know, because Alex felt like drawing the monkeys.
Now, before we go, one quick thing. Why should people check out Black Widow? That gets my seal of approval.
Thank you.
Why should people read that book?
I think it's a beautiful-looking book. I think the storytelling in it is dynamic, because that's Chris and Matt Wilson, who's the colorist, and Joe, who is our letterer. It's a good team. We brought the whole team over from Daredevil. But it's a good character. She's a kick-ass spy, and she takes no prisoners, and she takes no nonsense, and she's Natasha is such a good character to write that I think she's one of the strongest Marvel superheroes characters. She's certainly one of the strongest female characters in comics, and what's not to love about that?
And once again, it was one of the most fun books I've ever had the pleasure of reading in the past 5 years.
Thank you. Well, that's Chris, but thank you.
Now, how can people get a hold of you on social media and stuff like that?
Mark Waid on Twitter, and Mark Waid on Facebook. Easy to find.
Very cool, very cool. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We are joined right now at East Coast Comic Con 2016 with legendary Silver...
In New Jersey.
In New Jersey.
We're in New Jersey. I just want everybody to know we're in New Jersey, and we're in Jersey.
Secaucus.
Everybody from my hometown, Brooklyn, moved to New Jersey. So it's like seeing old friends, you know. Everybody's Italian, everybody's in New Jersey, everybody talks with a Brooklyn accent. I don't know what the hell happened, but here we are in New Jersey at a Comic Con, which is like, I don't know, the second they've had here?
Second here, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like a continuation of Asbury Park Comic Con.
Right, whatever that was, which I was never at. I came here last year, and we had a great time. Everybody's terrific, you know. And the thing about it, since I come from New York and everybody in New York, everybody in New Jersey knows I came from New York. There's this, like, bad humility. Like if you're Canadian, you're always humble. And you go, yeah, I'm Canadian. And they drop their head. But in New Jersey, they go, yeah, I'm from New Jersey. And they stick their jaws forwards like, yeah, okay, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. We're in New Jersey. We're cool, right? So it's like, yeah, I moved from Brooklyn. I may move back to Brooklyn, so just watch it. That's just saying.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But everybody's very happy out here.
So first off, the most noticeable thing about your booth is there are a lot of prints, a lot of original art, a lot of books.
It's as if I did comic books.
Exactly.
Holy moly.
And there's a lot of gorgeous
stuff. Oh, and look at that thing there. You see that book right there?
Which book?
This Batman says an image of Batman on it.
Why?
That weighs 8 pounds. It's the size of a newborn baby.
Is that the Neil Adams Batman omnibus collecting your entire run on the character?
Apparently, but they missed a couple of stories right at the end. They don't have the Batman zombie story in there.
Right, from Batman Black and White.
Right. And there's another short story that I did as sort of like a weird story about where you start in the old style and you move forward in style. They don't have that one in there, but I guess it's too recent. Anyway, that's got essentially 4 books worth of stuff in there. It's got the 3 collections, Plus, it's got Batman Odyssey.
I actually,
a book that many of you have out there have not read yet, and you should read it.
I actually have every single issue of Batman Odyssey,
and I
enjoyed it.
But did you read it?
Yes, I did.
Did you read it to the end?
Yes, I did.
Are you sure?
Yes. Well, I've read it multiple times.
To the end?
Yes.
Bang, bang, bang?
Yes. Absolutely. Now, speaking of...
See, you notice it's an actual book.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
It's an actual... Hey, it's got a plot here. I got to read this over again.
I enjoyed it a lot. The art was really gorgeous, and the storytelling was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Listen, if you ever want to read a story that has Batman, like Sherlock Holmes, ahead of everybody all the way through, that's the book to read.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
Now, currently at the moment, you're working on Superman.
Yeah.
What is the full title for the audience out there at home?
I don't know.
It is The Rise of the Superman, I believe?
Rise of the Superman, something like that. The Coming of the Superman.
There we go, sir.
The Coming of the Superman. Why do we want that? I mean, you got three new Supermen? That doesn't make any sense.
I myself enjoy the book a lot. The art, once again, continuing a trend, the art is fantastic. And so
well, I, you know, I try to get the best artist to work on my stuff.
You did get him, I noticed.
I noticed. Yeah, I know.
Now,
very clever of me, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mike, any questions?
Yeah, I actually got one. With all the, you know, animated movies DC's been doing lately, right, is there any that you would like to see done that either that you worked on in the past or anything?
I would like to see more Man-Bat.
Absolutely, I definitely
agree with you.
I'm a little thrown by what's going on at DC Comics. I don't understand exactly what they're doing in the comic books, and I feel terrible that they keep on getting kicked in the groin because of the movies.
Yeah.
And the one saving grace does seem to be the animated films.
I 100% agree.
It's like they distill the comic books, they turn them into movies, they make them animated. And although the style may be questionable, once you start watching them, you don't question the style anymore, and you watch the movie, and you have a great time.
I was at go ahead.
It's one of the best things that DC associates do. I'd like to see that tracked by the film companies.
I actually went to the Batman Bad Blood premiere earlier this year, and like the movie itself was fantastic. Like that was what I want to see. I mean, I don't think anyone's asked you, what are your thoughts on Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice?
Really? You really want to ask me that?
I've been dying to know.
Okay, all right, I'll tell you. I have held out such hope for that movie because they tried to fix something of the last movie where, you know, you sit, everybody criticizes, you know, Superman practically destroys Metropolis fighting these Kryptonians when he could have taken them to the Sahara Desert or to the moon or somewhere where you're not killing people. And so they're basically saying, well, okay, now Bruce Wayne Batman is blaming Superman for doing that, and so he wants to control him and to undo him. Unfortunately, at the end, if we track the movie, he ends up killing him.
Yeah.
Duh. I mean, is that the point that we really want to receive at the end? Now, we know he's not dead, but the point is that if he challenged Superman and he's going to kill him, he kills him.
Yeah.
It's just he uses some other weapon, you know. So what has happened that's good about the movie? Well, they tried to fix the previous movie. They didn't exactly. They tried to do Frank Miller's Batman, and they sort of did, except it's not 20 or 30 years in the future, which is the only way you can do that movie. They brought it in the past, so the first thing you see is Bruce Wayne with gray at his temples. First thing, you don't want to see Bruce Wayne with gray at his temples. I can have gray at my temples because I've earned it, but he's supposed to be 29 years old. So suddenly, we don't know how old he is. Suddenly, we don't know where this is taking place in the history. Suddenly, by solving this problem, you make more problems. Now the convoluted problems that are made start affecting your plot. Now you start asking questions like, who's the villain at the end?
Doomsday.
You throw in Doomsday and you go, wait a second. Can't we have Doomsday have his own film? We just lost that film. Then we have Wonder Woman, who apparently can't do anything. I mean, she doesn't do anything in the movie. She just looks good.
Yeah.
You know, and she does look very nice. Those close-ups are fantastic. And she poses well, but she's got a lasso that I understand its latest power is to be able to control people. Like she throws around somebody, they not only have to tell the truth, but she controls them. Should have been the end of the movie. Wasn't. So she was useless. So why was she there? So now, now I'm given a teaser for a Wonder Woman movie, which I want to see. I want all this to happen, but I can't understand why they keep on throwing it in the wrong way, and so I'm not going to get it.
It's shoehorned in.
I know, and they're all shoehorned in, and it's like, no, guys, this is really, really not the way we do it, okay? Follow the books. Follow the books. You should. There's no reason why a younger Batman can't come up with that same costume. There's no reason for it to happen 25 years in the future. Do it now, okay? Yeah. And don't pretend, okay? And, yeah, let's use the plot that Superman almost destroyed Metropolis, but let's not make him gray and dour. Excuse me, as I understand it, Batman is a creature of the night. Superman is a creature of the day. I want to see the sunshine behind him. I got one scene like that when these people are on the roof and Superman is standing in the sky, not rescuing them, but just looking at them.
Yeah.
Excuse me? Where is the glorious Superman that I want to see? Where is he? Who's this gray character? And what do they shoot the medicine in his Novocaine into his eyebrows so they go down like that? This is a good-looking man. Put goose grease in his hair. So every time you look at him, he's got his head down and you don't want to touch his head because he looks like a rock and roller from the 50s, you know, like Elvis Presley or something. What is that crap in his hair? It's all plastered down. I don't want to see that Superman. I want to see, boom, chest. I want to see George Reeves. I want to see that wonderful costume. I want to see my favorite hero in comics. You know, he is the ultimate superhero. Why are we lessening him? I don't get all this crap that they're throwing in just to make a superhero movie. While Marvel is over there batting a thousand. Every movie out, they're batting a thousand.
If you told me, you know, 5 years ago we would have gotten a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I would have thought you were crazy.
Exactly.
And look at them now. They're
when they announced the movie, and my friends came to me and said, What's Guardians of the Galaxy? I say, what's the one of the worst comic books Marvel ever did?
God, yes.
And the only reason they did it is because they sold off all their other properties, and all they had left was Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm thinking, so it's going to be crap. No, it was great. Maybe the best. How can you even? We can't even. How can we as fans even say it's the best? It's the worst comic book. It's just terrible. But and if we sat here and we tried to talk about what the plot of it is, we wouldn't know.
Right.
Yet it was great.
Wasn't it?
Yet it was terrific. Ant-Man was terrific. It had another turn. Daredevil, the TV show, everybody loves it. Everybody tells me, haven't you watched the latest season? No, I still haven't finished the first season. What's wrong with you?
I'm just saying,
I can't get past Marvel and DC. And DC's putting all their energy. Was the guy that did Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Joss Whedon.
Get Joss Whedon.
I agree.
Let him do a DC movie. Let him start the ball rolling.
If I remember correctly, he was supposed to do a Wonder Woman movie back in the day.
Oh, God.
They didn't want to.
I just don't get it.
The funniest thing is the power Marvel has. Marvel has people, because of Ant-Man, when you go to conventions, cosplaying as Baskin-Robbins employees. I've never seen that. And it's insane.
It's great. No,
I keep hearing they need to make a Dead Man movie.
Wait, I'll tell you this. Yes, I had to see Batman and Superman. Yes, there were things in there that I liked. Yes, I'm glad I went. No, I feel terrible about the feelings that I walked away with, that I thought this was going to be the time they were going to pull it out of the shitter.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
I have hopes for Suicide Squad.
Yeah, it's like it's the only thing that is the only saving grace I have left is Suicide Squad, you know? And they're villains. I'm sorry. Marvel isn't doing a movie about villains. They're doing Deadpool, who is I don't know what he is. Doesn't matter. They're pulling stuff out of their back pockets and they're making movies out, and you kinda go, how the hell are they doing that? You know, they practically sold all their franchises off. And they're dealing with crap, and they're doing a great job. Is that the problem, really? That DC Comics has a wonderment of riches, and so because of that, they can't pull a good movie off? I don't know. It's not just me. All the fans went to see that Batman Superman movie. We all went to see it.
I was there for the preview showing.
And it's like, okay, you know, really. I know maybe it's you're all adults, or you know you don't get it. I don't know what it is you don't why you don't get it, but you know all you did was you threw crap at into it, and you didn't try to make Batman and Superman. Excuse me. Does anybody recognize Superman, strange visitor from another planet who can? I mean, just Superman.
Now it's more like Superman.
Yeah, Superman. Superman and Batman.
Super guy.
It's like, yeah.
Blind Road Detective.
I don't want a dark Superman. I'll take a dark Batman. And by the way, Ben Affleck did a great job.
I agree.
Sure, and the guy who played Superman, what's his name? He did a professional job. He did exactly what he was asked to do. And he looked great. But that shouldn't be what he should have done.
I agree.
He should have done.
Da da da.
So there you go. I know you. So you hear it from me, and I'm sorry I have to be the one to say it, but...
Well, the worst part, I don't know if you noticed, I was visibly getting bummed out as we're talking about the movie, because I'm reflecting on things. I'm like, they could have done it a lot better.
Yeah, wait a second. But I don't know how they could have taken so many bad roads. Excuse me, Clark Kent's mother is working in a diner on a late shift?
Wow.
This is Superman's mother. What the hell is that? And she gets mugged, beat up in the alley while she's taking garbage out?
That was pitiful.
That was terrible. They have the TV show. They got the farm. She runs for senator. She's a good, beautiful, wonderful character. And wouldn't Clark Kent Superman? You mean Clark, after working at the Daily Planet and apparently having more power to do his job than he ever had in his life, apparently Perry White lets him do whatever the hell he wants, even though he argues with him, still he lets him do it. He doesn't make a good enough salary to supplement his mother's retirement income to take care of her and keep her on the farm. He's Superman. He can find gold. It's his mother. Who was sitting around the table to make that decision? She's working in a diner and
they
she's in a
farm.
They need a kid. Bring in a kid, a 12-year-old kid, and he'll tell them what to do.
I've always wondered why Hollywood is so against having a comic book writer involved in a movie. I've never understood why they don't want to do that.
Fear, the assumption of greater intelligence. We know how to do it. You know, when we did Bucky O'Hare as a TV show, you may have
remembered. That was a staple of my childhood. So
okay, remember. I made the writers write an hour script, and then I edited it down to a half an hour.
That's so great.
Isn't that a good idea? So I always had a good story, really good story. No matter how badly it was animated, it was a great story. Well, when we started the negotiations, the people who ran the animation company, they said, well, you've done Bucky O'Hare up to now, you know, now just let us take it and we'll take care of it. And I said, no, excuse me. You'll take it and ruin it, and we'll all go into the poorhouse together. No, you have, first of all, you've never done Bucky O'Hare. You haven't done any of the stuff we did in comic books. You do animated TV shows, and most of them suck, okay? I'll control it, and we'll turn it into a good show. And if you don't want to do that, then there's no reason for us to actually order dinner. Well, that's we know our business. I said, no, you don't know your business. Nobody knows their business. The assumption of higher intelligence is not deserved by anybody. Everybody's pretty much the same. But I am a professional comic book guy, and I did Bucky O'Hare. And I did it with the two most talented people in the business, Larry Hama and Michael Golden. And we crafted a beautiful thing. You're not going to ruin it. We're going to have stories.
Oh, okay.
In the series?
You're being kind of high-handed about this. No, I'm not. I'm just saying protecting the product, that's all. And that's what DC Comics ought to do, protect their product. It shouldn't be Warner's making any decisions on that. It should be DC Comics.
I agree.
And if they fuck it up, then let them be responsible. I know. I hear the interviews. You know, Jim Lee says, look, if you have anything to ask, ask about the comics. And if I was Jim Lee, I would say exactly the same thing. Don't ask me about the movies. Don't even ask me about, even though the animated stuff is good, don't ask me about that, because you know what? I'm in control of the comics. That's my job to make that good, not to make the movies good. And truthfully, they're not. They're not making them good. I don't know why.
The animated stuff is amazing.
And you know, they never, in all honesty, look, I know more about DC Comics than almost anybody alive. And I can say alive now because all the really good guys are gone. But I could sit around a table and I could have corrected that script in 2 hours. 2 hours. No, Ma Kent is not working in a diner. No, you don't need this character. You don't need it. It's another movie. No, Superman should not wear that costume and put goose grease in his hair. Just take all the shit out and just make it look good. Now we'll fix the story. No, it doesn't take place in the future, and there's no gray hairs at Ben Affleck's temples. He's already old enough. Stop it. Make him look younger if you're going to do anything. And when you see him in the Batman costume, when he's in the Batman costume, really let that costume cling to his body and really show us what Batman is. That's what I want to see. After he puts that big clunky thing on, that's Frank Miller. That's okay. But I want to see Neil Adams' Batman. I'm sorry I said that. I apologize. I take it back. Yeah, I want to see Neil Adams' Batman. That's what I want to see.
I want to see Neil Adams' Batman. Yep. Hell yes. I want to see Neil Adams' Superman.
Yeah, looking good, isn't he?
Exactly. In Coming of the Superman.
Some guy asked me about Superman, and they say, you got a lot of it looks really buff. And I say, because he works out. And they say, he works out? I say, yeah. It's one of those things where you go, well, how is Superman going to work out? He can do anything. No, Superman isn't a god, okay? He wants to work out. Because Superman, you got to imagine you're Superman, right? You're Superman, and the question is, are you going to work out? You have to find a way to work out. You have to find a way to work out because maybe another Superman is going to come along and kick your ass. So you're not just satisfying being, working with these marshmallows. You have to be satisfied if another Superman comes, you can beat his ass. Well, there's only one way to do that, and that's to work out. So my Superman works out. How does he do it? I don't know. I haven't written that comic book yet, but he clearly has to work out because he has to be buff and he has to be Superman. He's wearing a goddamn skin-tight outfit. I mean, he's got to look good.
I like to think Blinken, you miss it, like in the Daily Planet. He's, maybe doing like 150 sit-ups and push-ups in the blink of an eye. I have faith in him. I think he can do it.
But I think there's stuff that he can do that's different than what other people do. And that's great. Anyway.
Now, one thing real quick before we go. One of the controversial issues of Batman v Superman was the conclusion of the fight having to do with Clark's mother's name and Bruce's mother's name being Martha. What did you think about that decision to go with that,
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that really their names?
Yeah.
That was pretty clever.
I'm one of those, there's people who argue about it. Like,
I don't know.
They get along because of that? No. The reason they do it is because Batman doesn't want to be like Joe Chill, who killed Martha.
Oh, you're overthinking. That's good. Yeah. I appreciate that. But everybody sat in the audience and went, I do it in Batman Odyssey, where I go, how was Deadman killed? In a circus, he's shot in a trapeze. And how was Robin's parents killed?
Circus.
In a circus and a trapeze. Holy crap.
Wow. I never even connected that.
Duh. Yeah.
Really?
No, okay, no. Now, back off of me, because you said you read that book. Ta-da-da-da. Ta-da-da-da. I'm just saying, I love that kind of stuff. And for that moment to happen, when he says Martha, whoever that says Martha, you go, oh, my God.
I was in the
theater. Oh, my God. It just sends little chills. Is that true? Is that true? And you want somebody next to you to verify. Is that true? Is that true? Are they both Martha? Holy shit. That is so cool. Coolest thing in the movie. Coolest thing in the movie.
I definitely agree.
Both Martha. Oh, God. Anyway, that's great.
Now, Neil, before we go, how can people get a hold of you on social media and whatnot?
NeilAdams.com. If you can remember my name, .com. It's really easy. I am the easiest guy in the world to get a hold of. I'll tell you, I'm in the phone book. My studio is in the phone book. My home is in the phone book. Anybody can call me anytime. I don't want them to call me. And once every couple of months, I'll get a phone call, and it'll be, can I talk to Neil Adams? Yeah, this is Neil Adams. Is this Neil Adams, the comic book guy? Yeah, it's Neil Adams, the comic book guy. Who do you think you dialed? Oh, my God, it's Neil Adams! And there's five guys around the phone. Oh, shit, and then they hang the phone up.
That's tremendous. I know Ditko's number is publicly available, too, and it's like, I can only imagine how much he gets it as well.
I don't think he does. I think people just don't do it. That's the thing, is that it's sort of like a weird legend that's not true, that if you put your name in your number in the phone book or you make it available, that everybody in the world's going to call you. No, they're not. They're not right. Going to call you. It's all bullshit.
I agree.
And it's like, oh, I don't, he's one of those anonymous guys, he doesn't list. No, I list everything. Right in my website, you can get my address, the people, my daughters, my wife, everybody's there. It's so easy to get a hold of me. I don't want you to get a hold of me just because you feel like it, but, you know, because I'm a human.
Hi, Neil, but, what you thinking about?
Yeah, what you thinking about? We don't want that, but, you know, if you got something to call me about, I'm cool. I don't like all of this crap. Neil doesn't like crap. Just get rid of it.
Neil, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's a pleasure, guys.